Ephesians 1:11-14. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of our salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
Am I chosen? Am I chosen? I wonder how many times you've asked that question. Maybe for you, even in the last couple of weeks, you've been looking at the person of Jesus and thinking, is this me? Am I chosen? Maybe you've been a Christian for years and years, and it's just niggled at the back of your mind. Am I chosen? The reality is, if we look at the Bible, it is an important question to ask. We're talking about big claims, big things. But if we're so concerned on this one question, am I chosen, and repeatedly ask that one question, will we get anywhere? I wonder if you like murder mystery stories. I do a little bit, I've got to confess. Now, murder mystery stories are brilliant, aren't they? Because from the very beginning, you've got to ask and grapple with this question, who did it? But the more and more you read murder mystery stories, the more you realise that there's a depth and texture to the question. It's not just simply who did it. Maybe you've read a murder mystery story with a child or watched a film with a child. And the thing is, if they're watching for the first time or reading for the first time, they just consistently ask this question, who did it? Who did it? Who did it? And they can't get anywhere in the details. See, these stories are carefully constructed that we pick up on little details along the way, and ultimately, we're drawn to one fact. Who did it? In the same way, if we simply just ask, am I chosen? Am I chosen? Am I chosen? Repeatedly, we might miss the details. We might be crippled by that question, am I chosen? But this evening, we're going to look and see that this passage, we've got some real questions to ask that can give us real answers when it comes to this question, am I chosen? See, I think that this passage shows us we're being grafted into the trajectory of God's work. Now, let me break that down and explain it a little bit. We're being grafted into the trajectory of God's work. Last week we looked at the blessings that we have in Jesus. And we're just going to, just for a minute, ask, when do these blessings happen? When do these things happen? So verse 4, for he chose us in him, when? Have a look down. Before the beginning of the world. Verse 7, in him we have the redemption. When? Through the blood. When Jesus came to this earth. Verse 10, when are all things united under Christ? Well, when Jesus comes back. See, I think what's really exciting here is that there is a real trajectory. God's work is going in a very definite way. One day, all things will be united under Christ. It's only going that one way. And from the very beginning, it's so clear that that is God's plan. We're only going in one direction. And this evening, we're going to see in our passage that actually, if we trust in Christ, then we are being grafted into this trajectory. We are being brought into the details of God's plan. And when we see this, we can begin to understand how we pick out the details of answering this question, am I chosen? So firstly then, from this passage, verse 11 and 12, His plan is for his glory. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. See, he's working out everything to go in that one direction. Why? In order that we who to put our faith in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. See, all along, from the very beginning, his plan is for his glory. I wonder what that sounds like to you. I wonder how that sits. God is most concerned with his glory. Maybe it sounds like God's a bit insular. Maybe it sounds like he's not quite concerned with me. Well, we have to understand that for God to be most concerned with his glory is the most loving thing he can be. It might be difficult to get our heads around, but for him to want us to be concerned with his glory is the best he could want. Plenty of people have put it much better than I could. The Westminster Shorter Catechism says this: a man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. A man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That is what we are created to do. Simply and solely, glorify God and enjoy him. John Piper says, we are most satisfied when he is most glorified. It's simple. We, as created beings, have most joy when God is glorified. That is the best thing we could possibly experience. So to be grafted into the trajectory of God's work means we will be more and more concerned with his glory. We will be concerned with his glory in the things that we do. We will be concerned with his glory when his name is mentioned amongst our peers, when his name is mentioned by politics, when his name is mentioned. We have a responsibility to stand up for God's name. It doesn't seem to carry much weight in our society anymore. But his plan is for his glory. Verse 12 and 13, his plan is that we would be in Christ, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. See, right from the very beginning, the trajectory of God's work is that one day all things will be united under Christ. His plan for these believers here is that they will be in Christ. His plan for us as believers is that we would be in Christ. See how exciting it is to see that the trajectory of God's work is clear. It's set out and it never changes. For us today, just as it was for these people then, his plan is for us to be in Christ. Well, what does that mean exactly? Functionally speaking, what it means in the nitty-gritty, it means that we accept the message of truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, in verse 13. Spiritually speaking, we see it means that we're marked with the Spirit. Practically speaking, it means that we bear his name. We as a church are in Christ. And that is for his glory. So to be grafted into the trajectory of God's work, we will be trusting in Christ. We will be putting our trust in the message of truth, the Bible. And we will be giving him every area of our life. Verse 13 and 14, his plan is guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. And you also, who are included in Christ, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. See, the Holy Spirit, its work in us is very clear. It is in us as a seal, a guarantee for our inheritance. Well, how do we know its work? How can we recognize its work? It means a change in our desires. It means a change in our desires to the former two things. That we would be more concerned with his glory. That we would want to bring him glory in our lives. That we'd worry, we'd wonder about his name in our culture. It means that we'd desire to be in Christ. That we'd be concerned with the message of truth. And we'd have a hunger for verse 14, the redemption of those who are his. We'd have a real hunger for the day that that Jesus comes back, when all things ultimately will be united under him. See, the Holy Spirit's work is very clear. It is a change in our desires to be grafted into the trajectory of God's work. More and more, our experience will be that we are concerned with what he is concerned with. But the thing is, it is a question of desires. And that means when we ask ourselves, we have to be aware we've got to target our deepest desire. So there's some questions coming up behind me. We can ask, am I concerned with God's glory? We need to be really specific. Day to day, do I want, deep down, do I want him to be glorified in the things I do? Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. In view of what Jesus has done, offer what you have, offer who you are, offer everything to him that he would be glorified. Is that what you want? Is that what I want deep down? Is that my desire? Are we concerned that his name is glorified in our culture? Do we want people to know about him? Deep down, is that what I want? Am I concerned with God's glory? And am I trusting Christ? Do I want to, like verse 13 says, fill my heart and my mind with the message of truth? Is that what I want? Deep down, do I want to fill my heart and mind with the truth about Jesus? Do I want to be reading my Bible? Am I giving every area of my life to Jesus? Is it my deepest desire that every area of my life, even things that I'm holding back at this moment, Jesus would be Lord of? Is that what I want? And am I looking forward to Christ's return? Does the prospect of the day when Jesus comes back and there's no conflict in my heart, but simply wanting, it's my joy, it's my real deepest desire to honour him. Is that where I want to take my friends? Look, the reality is sometimes with our desires, it's really hard to measure. Because we can have it as our deepest desire, but sometimes we just don't feel like it. So some of you this evening will need to hear, stop trying to be right all the time and recognize that it's God's work by his Spirit to change your desires. Some of you need to hear, stop telling yourself you're wrong all the time and recognize that God is at work in your heart to change your desires. It's a balance. We need to know that we get it wrong But we need to tell ourselves to get it right. It's a bit like this. I love playing sport. I always have. I believe that I'm created with something in me that means I'm created to play sport. Not necessarily great gifts in how I play, but the desire to get out there and use my body, use what I've been given in view of what he's done for his glory. But the reality is, not every day, not every time I go and use my body, do I feel like it. Sometimes, at the moment I'm running, sometimes I'll go out for a run and I don't quite feel like it. But does that mean I question the desire that I love sport? No, that would be silly. In the same way, if we have the desire, if we have the deepest desires to honour Christ, to make him known, when we don't feel like it, when it's just hard, do we question that we have those desires? Should we question that we have those desires? No, we have to work hard. Look, this evening, it might be the case that these things don't yet apply to you. It might be the case that you look at your heart and say, do you know what? These desires aren't mine yet. They're not. Well, where does this passage point us? It points us to Christ. See, this evening, if that is not yet you, come to Christ. For when we accept Christ, we are marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit that changes our hearts. And if it is you, if you have accepted Jesus, and you're asking yourself this question, am I chosen? Then just imagine something with me for a minute. Imagine that day that Christ returns. Imagine seeing him face to face. Imagine being able to walk towards him, to look him in the eye, and he looks you back and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Imagine being able to look around and see friends and family that have been in your church, that you've prayed for, that you've prayed with, that you've shared tears and joys. Just imagine. Imagine that time when there's no conflict in your heart, not the tiniest bit, but it's your joy, your desire all the time to give everything to Christ. And imagine looking over and seeing that friend that right now you're praying for, that right now doesn't yet trust in Christ. Imagine seeing them, they don't see you, but there they are beaming at Jesus. All they're concerned with is his glory. Imagine that day. Friends, if these things bring joy to your heart, if these are the things that you desire, don't spend your days asking, am I chosen? Spend your days getting ready for that final day. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much that you have made this question very clear. Father, that you, by your Spirit, change the desires of those that are marked by your Spirit. Father, please would you help us to recognize this change in desire daily. Father, if there's people here this evening that have not yet given their lives to Jesus, please would they? Please would you help them? Amen.